But yeah, good morning. I will say it's a little different being here and not teaching in Tanzania where we've been the last 2 months. There we usually have translation. So we tell the students, okay, about 45 minutes, but half of that's translation, so about 20 minutes. And now I have 45 minutes without any translation, so I now have 45 minutes, which will go by a lot faster than I will probably think it will be. But yeah, before, let's just pray and get started. Yeah, so Father, just thank you so much for this morning and the opportunity to share what you've been doing, not just in my life, in the life of our team, but also in the life of what you're doing across the nations. So Father, as we speak this morning, I just ask that your Holy Spirit, would just move and that your heart would shine through and that you would just get all the honor and all the glory. And we thank you in Jesus' name. So when Laurie texted me this week asking what to title this, honestly, I had no idea. I hadn't even thought about that. But I decided to go with the YWAM phrase or kind of goal or logo, whatever you want to kind of call it, which is knowing God and making him known. So YWAM, or Youth with a Mission, is a non-denominational, intergenerational, international organization. They have locations all around the world. I just happen to be out of the base in Kona, Hawaii, which is one of the largest places. It's also the home, the main home of the University of the Nations, which is another secondary level school where you can get further training to be equipped to go and make God known in the nations, whether it be through teaching or business or translating the Bible or music or anything else. And so that's kind of based there in Hawaii, and then there's also locations around the world as well. So before we get started, I just kind of wanted to share from Romans 12. If you have your Bible, you can turn there with me. This passage was shared with us from Darlene Cunningham, the wife of Lauren Cunningham, who the two of them together founded Youth with a Mission. And this is something that she shared with us the very beginning when we first started at our staff training, and then also when she came and shared at Crossroads, just our specific school. So Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep and live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So this is a passage that Darlene shared with us the very beginning of our journey in Crossroads, which is a discipleship Bible school specifically geared for people 25 and older. So there's singles like myself, there are married couples, there's widows, there's families. So this past school, we had 41 students, 18 kids. The youngest was 9 months, and the oldest was, I believe, in their 60s and everywhere in between. And so as we're going through this passage, Darlene just reminded us that this is what God has called us to be, to work together as a team and to be transformed in the renewing of our mind as we get to know who God is and allow him to transform us into who he says we are. And we do that by listening to what he says in these words in his book. And then at the same time, we also learn more about what it looks like to live in community and to work with those different giftings that we have. Some of us have the service. Some of us have leadership. Some of us have teaching. Some of us exhortation. And there's other examples in the Bible as well, speaking of different other giftings as well. So we got to learn about those different gifts and what those are. And as a leader and a staff for the school, I got the opportunity to not only continue to learn for myself, but also to help guide others who are learning in their process. Some of that happened through one-on-ones. I had 3 specific one-on-ones. I met with them for an hour each, every week. And we just kind of talk about life, talk about what is going on, how are they processing the content of the teaching that week, whether it be hearing God's voice, some of them knowing that they can hear God's voice for the first time, stepping out and practicing that, looking at the spiritual gifts, spiritual warfare, and all kinds of other things as we get to know who God is. And then that last section, starting in verse 9, it then kind of talks about how we live then once we have all of these things. And it talks about, you know, letting, loving one another and letting our love be genuine, rejoicing in hope and being patient in tribulation and being constant in prayer, and more as we go down through that. And I think that not only do we practice when we're in our lecture phase, the teaching part, 3 months, but then also as we go into outreach to the different nations around the world. And a lot of those things come up. There's a lot of rejoicing. There's also a lot of weeping. I feel like our team this past time had a lot of everything within that, which I'll get to share a little bit more later on. But yeah, so just kind of a quick general overview. So as I said, the first 3 months, so the students arrived October 2nd. And then our team flew out to Tanzania on December 18th. And in that time, there were several weeks, the whole time in between, of what we call lecture phase. We're getting to know who God is and how to share him with the world. And so that's being that transformed renewing of our mind, learning about maybe wounds from our past that we need healing from, learning about the gift of forgiveness and repentance and actually walking out in that, not just hearing that in our heads, but walking out in that as we go forth. And so... yeah, it was an absolute honor to step into that. I know part of that for me was also just learning for myself how I hear God's voice and stepping out in that. There were different times I was challenged by actually my co-leader and great friend who was rooming with me at the time. And she had asked the Lord for pictures for everyone in our small group. We also lead a small group each week, and the two of us had the privilege of sharing that together. And so as she stepped out in that, I was like, you know, I want to step out and challenge myself as well. And so for the couple weeks there, I asked the Lord for pictures and words that he wanted to share with each of my one-on-ones. And so I'd write them down, what he gave me. Each one was very different and unique. And I was terrified as I was going to share them with him because I'm like, I don't know if this is right. I don't know if this is going to work. But I shared with them and I was like, I want you to take this to the Lord, submit it to him. Because, yes, I'm learning and growing in this, but I also know that this is something, no matter what happens, you always take to the Lord. And every single time, they were like, that resonates with me. That actually makes a lot of sense. That is so helpful and so encouraging. And then I don't just encourage them, but also encourage me to continue to step out and hearing God's voice and growing with that. Yeah, that's kind of a little bit about the lecture phase, not a ton, but I'm sure most of you guys probably want to hear about the more fun part, which is our outreach to Tanzania. So to start that off, we have a video that we'll share, and then I'll come back up and share some more stories. So our team was consisted of 12 people. Myself, my co-leader Abby, who was one of our students last year on our team, a couple from Canada, a family from the United States. They had 4 children, 12, 11, 9, and 6, and then 2 single women. And they did absolutely amazing. Our outreach was not an easy one. We left a day earlier than we were supposed to because we ended up going the wrong way around the world to get there because flights were just absolutely crazy at that time. But that allowed us to have a 27-hour layover in Japan, which we found out after we got our itinerary that that was actually a dream of the 9-year-old girl on our team to always visit Japan. She was nervous about going to Tanzania, nervous about flying, but Japan was a country that God had put in her heart years and years ago. So when she heard, she was so overjoyed and so excited. And we didn't just have a stop in the airport, but we got to go out and explore, which was so amazing and so life-changing for her. And then we arrived into Tanzania. We hit the ground running. That first week, we went to Samaria. We had 3 different church services that we preached at. We did elders ministry, children's ministry. They told us there would be 50 kids. And then they're like, maybe less than 50 kids. And then, okay, 100 kids. We got there, and there was close to 150 kids. So always just kind of keeping us on our toes. But we continue to just pray. The team did amazing. I think almost every single one of them preached at some point, gave their testimonies. The 2 oldest kids actually preached as well at the end and shared their all of them shared their stories except for the 6-year-old. But she was our prayer warrior. She was praying all the time. So I think honestly for me, part of it was just seeing them come to life and them sharing and giving the story and inspiring those around them who also could realize and feel like, whoa, kids can also share and do things just as much as we have. Because like we are often told in our lecture phrase, there is no junior Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit in each and every single one of us. So they might share it a little differently than us, but they still share the same Jesus. So we moved around to 6 different locations. When we were with YWAM Arusha, we moved every single week, which was exciting because we got to meet new people, do new opportunities, but that also meant a lot of travel, a lot of repacking. So by the end, we got pretty good at packing up bags really quick. We were able to build 3 houses for widows and then also raise additional funds for further teams in the future to build even more houses. In the midst of that, we also got to hand out SD Bible cards, which are about this big. And over there in Africa, even if you're out way out in the remote bush somewhere, everyone almost always has a phone. So you can put those little SD cards in, and we got to have the Bible in Maasai and English and Swahili, Swahili being the trade language and the language you heard in most of those songs. And so they always had the Bible in those 3 languages, as well as the Jesus film. And so we got to hand them out to as many people as we were able to. Often if someone gave their life to Jesus, we could give that and even to some pastors and other different people to continue to encourage them. But I think the thing that really struck me was just the way that God was moving, not even just in my life, in the life of our team, but also from when we were there last year to when we came back this year. So last year, we also went camping out in Matale in Maasai land, where I got most of the attire that I'm wearing currently, from the Maasai people, some most generous people ever. But we got to work with the school and even our host that we stayed in his pasture land. We camped in his pasture land. He was just very down, and we got to extremely encourage him last year through a word that my co-leader had at the time, and things that our team had been praying into and felt the Lord put on our hearts. This time when we came, he was just so much more joyful, had this peace about him, and was just ready to go. And we could, like me and my co-leader Abby, who had both been there last year, could see the transformation and difference that happened in just 1 year. The same with the teachers at the school. Last year, they were kind of more reserved, just kind of tired, kind of not full of a lot of hope. And this time when they came, there was so much more life there and just so excited to have us. But you could see that joy and that peace that, again, that had transpired in 1 year, so much so that me and my co-leader both noticed, and even our host who came with us, were like, something's different. Like, God is moving here. And we got to continue to invest in that. We had the opportunity to go to a government school and share with them, which, it's a big deal out in that area to have a government school, because a lot of them don't go to school or they don't have the resources to, especially if they're way out in the bush. It was about a 4 or 5 hour drive to get there in through the mountains. So that was just encouraging. Another one that I thought of was even as we were doing door-to-door ministry in Matala, probably our hottest location with the most amount of bugs, but at the same time, with all of that spiritual warfare we had coming against us and struggles within the team, that is the spot that we had the most ministry fruit. We had so many people come to know Jesus, so many like seeds being planted. There's so many stories I can share from that week, which I'll keep for Saturday, so you can come back and hear those. But the one I did want to share didn't start with our team, but started with a team that came 2 years ago that our host Silas had come and brought with. And they went, visited a home to a woman who her kids were crying and asking for help because they didn't have food. They didn't have any money. They could hardly have clothes and stuff on them. They were struggling so bad because their mom, instead of getting food for them, would instead go and get drunk. And they were able to preach to her and share with her and tell her, like, this is what's happening to your family. Like, your children are hurting. They're crying out for help. You need to change. And they shared that with her. And as we walked up to the house, I believe, I don't know if we were sitting there after we left, that our host Silas shared with us that that's the same house he came to 2 years ago. And now he's like, the kids are well fed. There's peace in the home. They're now going to school. The mom was completely sober at that point, and able to care for her family. And then because of that transformation that already happened, he was amazed at what had happened. We're able to then share the gospel. She accepted Jesus into her life, and we're able to share the SD card and got to hear her listen to it for the first time on her little solar-powered light that she had. And again, knowing the transformation that's going to continue to come after that. So we got to encourage a lot of people going into it. We knew it was going to be hard, especially for me. I knew it was going to be hard going back to Tanzania, where for me the trauma of losing my niece happened. But I knew that God was sending me there through a word that he gave me back before the students even arrived when we were picking our locations. And so Abby and I, my co-leader, we wanted to share about the trauma that happened with the bus accident that killed the base director and the director of training at the Arusha base and 11 others, which significantly impacted the base there and YWAM as a whole. And then we also wanted to share about our own experiences with it and my even grief process as well so that the team would know going in. And as we prayed before we even started going, we prayed over what the Lord has for us. And we had these pictures and things that we'd written down. And almost all of them talked about us surrounding the YWAM Arusha staff and praying for them and lifting them up and encouraging them. So going in, we thought, you know, we're going to go in and help them continue that grief process they've gone through from the year before. But a little over halfway there, we got the news that Emmanuel Nasseri, one of the three leaders who had taken over from John, who passed away last year, died of a heart attack. And so unfortunately, we weren't quite prepared for that, but yet the Lord prepared for us in his own way. And so we were able to pray with them. We were able to go to the memorial service and to the funeral and just really surround them in a way that we were not anticipating at all. It wasn't really part of our ministry plan. In fact, it kind of messed up our ministry plan a little bit. But that meant so much to our hosts and so much to that community that we would come and support them, including the YWAM outreach team that was with him at the time when he passed away and was doing the CPR after he passed. And so it was just cool for me just seeing how God is moving in all of those ways and really bringing that community together. We come from places all around the world, but we met teams from Costa Rica, from Nashville, from Luzon, and from all different kinds of places as we're coming into this. But yet we're all one big body of Christ. And so that was just so encouraging for me to hear all of that, to see that, and even go through that and see how the Lord came and even ministered to me, ministered to our team, and ministered to our hosts that we were with at the same time. And it truly just reminded me of like how the Bible, really God's word, has the power to transform nations, has the power to transform our own hearts and then transform our families, transform communities, and transform the nations and the world. And I feel like I got to see that on display throughout our time in Tanzania. From those few stories that I shared and others that I just don't have the time to share as well. And so I think it was just powerful just for me as I was reading through God's word and struggling and asking all these kinds of why questions. He reminded me with scripture from Romans 12, from Psalm 91, from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, talking about his comfort. And all of these things that just continued to just wash over me as I was there. And then also was then able to share with those around. At one point, God actually gave me a picture that I thought was for me in my grief and my suffering and my grieving process. But at the end of the day, I realized that that picture, he said, it's not actually for me, but for the Arusha staff. And so it was a picture that he gave me of his hands and then the world that he was holding his hands, or his hands was holding the world. And then I saw these tears coming down and I knew they were from the Father. And I felt like the Lord was saying, I'm comforting you, like I'm crying with you, I'm grieving with you, but yet I'm holding you. You are safe and I have control and you don't need to be afraid. And so that was just so powerful for me. And then when I was able to share it with our host, to share then with the Arusha staff, it was so powerful for them as well. So one day, Lord willing, if I get to go back, I'm pretty sure that picture will be up in their office somewhere. Not a crazy picture, but it's a picture from the Lord that he gave and then continued to give on and bless others as well. I'm trying to think what else. Yeah, so there's so much more I could share and say. I'm trying to look at the time and keep close with that. But yeah, I think I would just, as I'm finished this, encourage you to continue to look over that Romans 12 passage and just really just the Bible itself, and just learn from that and read that and ask the Lord, what does it look like to be transformed in the renewing of my mind? What does it look like to step out in my gifts and to share those gifts and communion with the people around me? What does it look like to let my love be genuine, even with people that I really don't like, who just get on my nerves day in and day out, but yet they are your children and you love them as well? And what does it look like to overcome evil with good? There was a lot of evil that we saw over there, a lot of things that broke our hearts, from poverty to abuse to all kinds of things, and things that we couldn't even see or understand. But yet we know that God has overcome the world. Just like we sang this morning, he's already got the victory. But yet we get to join in with that when we join in with the blood of his lamb, the word of our testimony, and continue to go forth even unto death, as it says in Revelation 12, chapter 11. So I just want to encourage you with that. Just sharing a few little tidbits of stories. I know that doesn't even like scrape the bucket of what there is to share. So if you have more questions or there's something you saw up there in the pictures and want to ask about it, please, I would love to share. I'm also planning to share this Saturday night over here in the fellowship hall at 6:30, of more stories, of things that happened, a miracle that we got to see, and transformation of communities and other things as well. I just encourage you to just continue to step in the word, but also know that my going does not mean that you're not a part of it. Something we did after the YWAM conference and our YWAM retreat in Kona before our students arrived is we shared testimonies. And they shared how they shared of like, you know, this is my story, but really this is our story. And so as the people would share, they'd be like, this is my story. And then everyone together would respond, this is our story. Because the thing is, this is all of our story together. I can't go without your support, whether it be financially or through prayers. So every story that I get to share of what God is doing is also your story, as those who send out, who help me to go and everything. So this is my story. Thank you.